writer of Hebrews talks about Israel like crossing the Red Sea, about them fighting the Battle of Jericho, about the martyrs of the early Christian faith, the ones who endured all kinds of hardships and killings and torture, but because they believed in the promise that was to come. One thing I can say about all of these people is that they claimed the promise. God had made a promise to them of the resurrection of the dead, that the kingdom of God was coming, that their lives would be transformed, and they claimed that promise. I think I would be remiss this morning if I didn't also mention somebody else who claimed a great promise. Now, tomorrow in the church is the Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but somebody else who claimed a promise and said yes to God. So as somebody who heard an angel come to her and tell her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. You're going to conceive and carry a child in your womb. This child will be from the Holy Spirit, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." What an exemplary act of faith to say yes. To understand that this was no ordinary child who was bringing transformation to the world, you know, the kind of transformation that we still feel to this day. And to say, yes, I'm going to claim this promise. To trust, to be assured of these things that were hoped for. One of the, and she has many, many names, Blessed Virgin, Holy Mary, but one of the things I really enjoy or I really appreciate is what our Eastern Orthodox friends will call her. They refer to her as the Theotokos, one who bore God in her womb. Which really makes me think, who could possibly have been closer to God than the one who bore him in her womb? But she was assured of things hoped for. She heard a promise, and she claimed it, giving us quite an example of faith. And so for us in today's day and age, we also have to ask, what kind of promises do we claim? What are the promises that we need the assurance of things hoped for? And I can see, really, just from all throughout Scripture, from the just even words that came out of the Virgin Mary's mouth, even words that came out of Jesus' mouth himself, the promises that were made to this world. The promise to make the world whole. And there's some challenges getting there, challenges to make the world whole, but also to make individuals whole. So this notion of peace, of shalom, of fullness, it's something that has both a societal impact, enlivened by the lives of Christians, and also Christians themselves who've been brought into unity, cooperating with God, being assured of the things that are hoped for, and acting accordingly. If you were to read the Song of Mary, which comes in the Gospel of Luke, goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth, and they're both pregnant by miraculous means. John the Baptist left in her womb. Mary responded with something that, at least in the Anglican tradition, always is sung in even song. The Song of Mary, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." And she goes on to describe how God has lifted up the lowly, sent the rich away empty. How God has filled the hungry with good things. Those who are satisfied, they're already hungry. Jesus spoke of it in another way. He talked to people about the kingdom of God is coming near. And this whole notion, all of these things that were shared, have to do with wholeness, have to do with the world being at peace. Or as any good Hebrew speaker would have said, they would use the word shalom. The word does mean peace, but it means more than that. It means peace, wholeness, and unity, and harmony. I think this is such an important message for us, because the world needs this shalom. The world needs this peace, really now more than ever. Because we see in today's day and age plenty of examples where the world has not been at peace, where it is lacking a sense of wholeness, and unity, and harmony. the wars that are still raging in the world, Russia and Ukraine, and violence in our streets. I saw an article the other day about Philadelphia. It was named that to be the city of brotherly love, and so these, right now it's on track to be one of the most violent cities in the country right now. All kinds of highest rates of violence and crime. Even something that hits us even closer to home, when the inflation that we're seeing, cost of basic necessities, food has been going up. And what we're seeing in our food pantry is people are coming, more and more people are coming because they just don't have enough. And so we've been giving out more and more food. The world definitely needs a sense of peace. The world needs the wholeness and the shalom that God is bringing to us. The kind of world that where as the prophet Isaiah described, the lion would lie down on the lamb. Usually when I think of that, I think of the lion and lamb came together, I think it's snack time. The lion's going to eat the lamb. No, but the way Isaiah said it in his vision, he said the two lie down together and the lion eats straw like the ox. Wow, that's pretty remarkable. It really is that the world itself became so in harmony, so at peace, that even the lion and the lamb would lie down together. A couple of years ago, our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, came for a retreat with clergy. It was pre-COVID, so we could all be together very closely. And he was talking about this lovely vision of Isaiah, or as Vernon Dozier described it, as the dream of God. And he remarked specifically on this lion and the lamb lying down together. And this is getting close to an election season, and he said this. He said, maybe the lion and the lamb isn't the best metaphor for us right now. Imagine if in the kingdom of God, the elephant and the donkey lie down together. He said, think about that for a moment. That is the sense of wholeness that God is bringing into the world. That is the whole, the whole purpose of the gospel, but a very necessary and inevitable component of Christ bringing God's love and light into this world, that the world comes to this sense of peace. Yesterday, some of us were having a conversation in the ministry saying all that's going on in the world and all that the message of the gospel has to offer, why don't we see more people in church? Why aren't we here? The church has something to offer this world. And the world is not here. One of the things that I might say is that as a church, we probably haven't been as good as we could be at communicating the sense of peace, this peace of God, letting people know that this is what we are about. We are about a world that comes into harmony and peace and love. Fullness, a world of shalom that God is bringing about. Now that's the promise, that's the thing we hope for. Faith is the assurance of that thing that we hope for. Faith is knowing in our bones that's what's going to happen. And despite what we see. So God makes these promises on the level of, say, the whole world, society, interactions between human beings. God also makes promises on the personal level. Now, personally, when we're suffering, it can be tough to say, okay, God's going to make everything right. But man, right now I feel, man, my back's hurts. Or we suffer from other things. We suffer from broken relationships. We suffer from mental struggles, emotional problems. But one of the promises that God makes to us is to make us whole. Again, it's a process, it's something that we look forward to, it's part of the dream of God. One of the ways that Jesus often greeted people is with words, shalom, peace. And again, it means peace with more than just the absence of conflict. It means even with ourselves being in a position of harmony and unity, and living life well. One of the people I think that really exemplified this a lot was St. Francis, whom we all know and love here. courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that can look like some very wonderful instructions for living, but also when you look at it deeply, you can see just how much at peace St. Francis was, because he was living in harmony with God, with his neighbors, and with the world around him, and actually all of creation. Now, because he had dedicated himself so fully to God, he was able to experience and appreciate this wonderful harmony with the creation around him. There's this great balance. I think that's one of the ways we see him depicted with all the animals around him. I don't know about you, but wild animals, be it deer or squirrels or rabbits, when I'm out outside walking, they don't come near me. No, they see me and they kind of go. A human being, I'm going to go. There was something so at peace with St. Francis. Something so peaceful about him. The animals came, and they were right there next to him. It was so in accordance with God's will that the world around him experienced this kind of balance and harmony. One of the other sayings of Jesus was that when he was admonishing the disciples, he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Nobody's found that saying curious, because if the flesh is so weak, how come so often it seems to have its own way? You know, I mean, I'm going to say if two are in conflict with one another, the spirit is strong, it should win out. But I've actually been thinking about it a little differently. It's not that they are in conflict with one another, but they are meant to work in harmony. The spirit and the body are meant to work together. Now, the spirit has this that Jesus saying the spirit is willing, that means there is some part of us that just wants and desires to do good, to do God's will, to live in harmony with our neighbors, with ourselves, with God, with all of creation. And that spirit needs the body to express itself. Because it's just as who we are. We're people that have bodies. We use our bodies as we live. So perhaps when Jesus was saying, the flesh is weak, he's saying the body needs to be strengthened in order to do what we are meant to do, in order to be what we are meant to be, to live how we are meant to live. I think a good part of spirituality is something that redeems the body, so that the spirit can express itself. And it's probably no wonder that a primary act of Christian worship is the Eucharist. We're taking the bread and wine, the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, and consuming it. We are eating it. Taking the body of Christ into our body. And anybody who knows what you eat has an effect on who you are physically. It begins to weigh of redeeming, transforming, perhaps even strengthening our bodies, which is why it's so important to partake in the Eucharist regularly. When the body and the spirit are aligned, the body can express, you know, the good that the spirit wants to do. So it's not the spirit willing and the flesh being weak, the flesh being disciplined and under control, and the flesh being strong enough to express that the spirit is willing. So we have these promises. Now, just like the Virgin Mary had her promises. That you'll bear a child, you'll be the Son of the Most High. She said yes, she claimed those promises. Now, God makes promises to all of us as well. And we need to claim them. We need to claim the promises of the kingdom of God. But the world itself can be so different than the conflict and craziness that we see. God makes promises on a personal level. You can experience peace, shalom, unity, harmony. It's like the prayer book tells us that the benefits of salvation is we get in harmony with God, with our neighbors, and with all of creation. We can claim these promises of the world that is set right. The lion and the lamb lying down together. We can claim the promises of being able to walk calmly, experience life, to do good within this world, you know, as this world is broken as it is in times. In short, we can walk this life of faith,